Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's OMF on EEI.
Jeff mentions that cap number. It's $41.25 million if he's on the team this year, the highest in the league. So the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger have to have a conversation about what to do about that. How do you lower that cap number? Well, one way they can lower it is to extend his contract and dump salary cap hits into future years. They could do that, and there's some sense that they will do that because of what he's meant to that franchise. But the most they can save by doing that is about $14 million. There is a chance that it ends up with Ben Roethlisberger not being on the 2021 Steelers.
Hour two of your Friday OMF, no O, no M, no F. The boys are all back on Monday at 2 o'clock. You got Mutt and Hart until 6. We're talking quarterbacks to start the show, no surprise. And the last couple of days, Tyler Devitt, who's one of the producers on the show, he is included in his rundown some piping hot Ben Roethlisberger Patriots take. Now, I thought he was kidding at first, but when he resurfaced it today, I have a feeling, do you really think this is a real option for the Patriots if Big Ben were to be cut or some sort of trade? What's your Big Ben Patriots scenario,
Tyler? I think you can't rule it out. I think it would be foolish to do it. This guy's won a Super Bowl. His interception percentage numbers are among the all-time best. Tom Brady's career interception percentage is 1.8. Big Ben, back-to-back seasons of 1.6. So you don't turn the ball over. That's what John Anderson was saying for Mariota, why you have to bring him here.
Okay.
So Ben doesn't turn it over. He had 33 touchdowns last year. Like, everyone's talking about how broken he was last year. Obviously, he had a great receiving core and great options to throw to, and obviously a good running game. But I think if you have the right guys around him, you could still get 22, 24 touchdowns, maybe single-digit picks from him. I'm not sure about that. Could be maybe 10 or 11. But 22 and 11, I would take that over Cam Newton any day. I think Big Ben should at least be considered here in New England.
So the last thing you said, I'll let Andy volley back first, just to point out, to be thought of over Cam Newton, I mean, honestly, almost everybody on the list we've talked about, that bar is set really low. Okay, I would be okay with
the bars on the floor.
Glenn Ordway being under center behind David Andrews throwing quarterback this year. But Andy, I'll let you address, because I have some strong thoughts on Big Ben. Big Ben to the Patriots as a bridge to the next quarterback.
I think Big Ben is one of the sneaky, dumb quarterbacks in NFL history. I think he makes some of the worst mistakes with games on the line. We've seen it against the Patriots over the years. Dumb, dumb mistakes. Talk about a guy that doesn't necessarily command a huddle, and they have issues with, you know, two-minute type situations where they make mistakes. And I don't. He had a good year, heavily weighted towards the first half of the year. He was good.
I'll explain how heavily it was. Yes, go ahead.
And he's not getting any younger. We know he didn't take care of himself. I know he has said, you know, he's taking better care of himself and he's wanted to play a little longer and all these things, but he's a guy that's been mentally discussing retirement for multiple years. His leadership is questionable at best, right? Some of the, like, which guy here is the good guy? Which guy is the bad guy? Are you both bad guys? I would want no part of Ben Roethlisberger. And my biggest reason, even if you say dream scenario, like, he's as good as you think he can be. Throws 30 touchdowns, 9 picks. To what end? Like, is he going to carry you to a Super Bowl next year, this retooled Patriots roster? Because he's not sticking around much longer than that, right?
No.
What are you doing for a year? Are you just scrambling to find a quarterback again? I mean, I guess best case scenario, you'd say you're the Colts, who a year ago you signed Philip Rivers. He gets you into the playoffs. You're okay, but then you lose on wild card weekend,
yep,
and your season's over, and you're right back where you started. You're trying to trade for a quarterback, whatever. I guess that would be the best case scenario. I don't see that happening. I don't think you're as good as the Colts roster.
So I think he's broken, and I think this year he got, as you pointed out, he as the year went on, he got worse and worse. So the finale was the worst. But people, because it was the last game, the tripleheader Saturday, Sunday. And so a lot of people maybe missed the game and just caught the final score the next day and said, boy, Cleveland 48-37, what happened there? What happened there is that Big Ben threw four picks in that game, okay? A week prior, he was okay against the Colts. Before that, quarterback rating 62, 65, 82, 81, 89. All his good games in the first half of the year. His body wore down, Andy, you're right. And I would not trust him to get through a full season under quarterback for a competitive NFL team. I go, and just like this one did, bunch of bad losses down the stretch, taking bad sacks, does the head shaking thing. By the way, he's always either hurt or he's fake hurt, where he's like, he's got to be dragged off the field, but then he's okay. He's got there's nothing about him that would make me feel good about this is the guy they picked as the bridge. There are better bridge options, and this guy's not healthy, Tyler. Like, there's physically, he's done. And we saw that at the end of last year with the four picks in the playoff game.
But you heard Mike Reese say it's a Cam and scenario. Let's figure out, you know, get rid of Cam.
I'm not
saying Cam
Big
and Big Ben. Oh, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, I was going to say, that won't work.
I'm saying there's a potential for a Roethlisberger and scenario. Roethlisberger and Mac Jones at 15.
And the wide receivers
and Kyle Trask in round three.
Yes, that's it.
He's a one-year guy. No matter what bridge you bring in here, Mutt, he's not going to take you to a Super Bowl or likely even the playoffs.
Yeah, Mitch might.
Big Ben could potentially get you to a 9-7 record. Mariota won't do that. He can't throw the ball at all. Mariota stinks. Jimmy G, no thank you, can't stay healthy. So the same concerns you have about Big Ben are the same ones you have about Jimmy G, but he's a better quarterback than Jimmy G.
Admittedly, but he's a dink. He's a dink. You know Jimmy G.
You think he'll be
a
dink here? Under Bill?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, he's been a dink his entire career.
Whatever state he's in, whatever country he's in, whatever job he's in, whatever chair he's in, I think Big Ben is a dink. So you even lose the Cam Newton, well, you know, the guys like him, and he does good radio interviews, and he's got cool nicknames and all. You lose that because he's just a dink. There is no argument for Ben Roethlisberger because he's also the other thing. You think he's coming here for $1 million like Cam?
No, it'll be 18 minimum.
So now 18 million. I'm paying 18 million for a broken bridge? Down old dink?
A broken
dink?
Bridge.
Right, a broken bridge dink.
Whose wide receivers hate him. Like they
better option than Jared Stidham.
I think you were talking
about... No, he isn't. I'm getting a lot of support on social media, more than you'd think.
I've seen the tweets. I see the replies. They're there for the public to see. It's about 50-50.
Oh, you do? Yeah, it is about 50-50, but I didn't think it would be 50-50. I went in with low expectations. Okay. I thought I was going to get absolutely slaughtered.
Yeah, we're going to
50-50 wasn't bad.
All right, yeah. Well, let us know how you want to word this, Tyler. We're going to put a poll question up. There's no better way to really take the temperature of people than with a Twitter poll question.
I will take the headline that Andy wrote, and I'll say, should Jared Stidham be in the running for the Patriots' 2021 quarterback competition?
Sure, so take a poll.
Is that good with you, Andy?
That's
since
perfect.
Column? Okay.
Go with it, and I feel very comfortable that I have a decent chance to win 51-49.
That's OMF on WEI.
That's all it takes. 51-49 is
a victory.
W.
Ask Cruz, right? Didn't Cruz retain his job by 51-49 over O'Rourke?
Over Beto? Yeah, he definitely won.
Wasn't it like that? I think it was like 51-49.
Might be in trouble next time around, I would say, based on his
he should
Cancun
be.
Trip.
He might have to resign. Like that other guy, the mayor, who told everybody to stop being so lazy. It's not the government's job to warm you up.
Oh, we got some school council members next hour that might be resigning very soon.
Eric, I'm running for office?
Excuse me?
I'm running for office.
Is that breaking news? Scoop?
What off?
Turned in my papers on Tuesday.
Running for what? Dog catcher?
Town meeting member.
Town meeting member?
Yes. I had to get 20 signatures of people within my voting precinct. My wife and I, we're going to be on the, well, if I qualify, I don't know if all my signature's good and then I get to
what
get
town
votes.
Is this?
Town of Dartmouth.
Okay, Dartmouth people, please go to town hall and vote against this.
Voting yet. I'm not even officially on the ballot. They got to like verify my signatures.
I can already just.
You wait. If
sorry.
My signatures don't get verified, you think Trump threw a hissy.
Woo-wee. Oh, sorry, Mutt. I can't do Mutt at Night tonight. I've got a council meeting to go to.
No, it's only twice a year. Meetings a year, town meeting. One's an all-day affair, though.
Eric's in Rhode Island on Jared Stidham at 617-779-7937. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, guys. I think there's actually going to be a quarterback competition between Jared Stidham and a guy like Kyle Trask. I really do think that he's going to draft a young quarterback, and he's going to try to create a competition between the two. You know, I mean, he saw something in Stidham. That's why he drafted him in the first place. And because he hasn't always draft quarterbacks, we ever noticed. It's not not something that he gravitates towards. But I think Kyle Trask is kind of a counter to him. You know, he's a much bigger quarterback. Trask has got a big arm, and I think he's going to try to bring in a younger guy and see who wins it out during preseason.
Well, Trask is going to be there in the second round. He is not one of the first-round guys. If they're taking someone at 46, then you know, Kyle Trask should be there, Eric. Thanks for your call. If that's going to be the plan, like if they say, well, Stidham's under control, so he's going to go to camp anyway, it can't just be Stidham and a rookie. We agree on this. There's got to be a third veteran there, right? Can't just be Stidham, rookie, and one of you guys wins. Their quarterback room was the worst in football last year. It might be worse if those are the only two quarterbacks on the roster in 2021.
Yes, that would be worse-er.
Embarrassing.
Much worse-er. But you got to be careful. If that's the scenario, if you want to play it that way, and you, whatever you think of Stidham, we know he's going to be back. As you said, he's on the roster, he's under contract, rookie deal. Like, why would he not be back unless you just think he's some sort of, you know, detriment to the locker room or the meeting room, whatever.
Too much Instagram.
Yeah, too much Instagram. But he's going to be back. And if you draft Trask, well, what kind of veteran are you looking to add to that mix? Are you looking to add the, not, I don't mean Brian Hoyer, but the Brian Hoyer type, the break glass in case of emergency? Are you looking for the Cam Newton type, a guy who looks at it as an opportunity? Whoa, those are the two young guys competing? I can beat the hell out of those guys. Like a googly eyes edition, where on Twitter, teammates will be immediately googly eyeing the veteran name brought in.
Yep.
Fitzpatrick, you know, he's a guy that, would he join a competition like that, finish out his tour of the
I think
AFC
he'd feel
East?
Pretty confident about winning that competition.
I do too. So that's like, I think that'd be an interesting third choice. If you want to do that, you know how Mike Reese had the Cam and? Well, now if we have Stidham, Trask, and, who's the and? And what is your point with the and? Are you trying to find a guy that you have a pretty good idea will squash the other two? Or do you want a legitimate competition?
Yeah, well, I think, doesn't Fitzpatrick...
Your boy Trubisky might be an interesting one, because I think he stinks.
I think both those guys would do both. Like, a veteran can be the starter, but also they're at least built for that competition. That's one of the things that was taken from us last year, amongst a million other things with COVID. We didn't get the real Stidham-Cam quarterback competition like we would have had. Like, in a normal year, Andy, since you're on the beat for the Patriots, if it was open last year, would you have been down there charting every Stidham series, every Cam series, you and Hannibal writing every day at WEEI.com, who threw better? Like, that's what I want. Like, I think Stidham, it's aggressive to say he should be involved because of the confidence that Bill Belichick didn't show last year. But I am looking forward to a real preseason quarterback competition, theoretically amongst a rookie and a couple other players, is what I want.
Yes, my only point was the third veteran matters in the way, to me, that he sort of comes into the competition. Otherwise, I think you have we're talking about the practice field. We're reading what veterans thought of Stidham on the practice field last year, right? Well, if you bring in certain guys, they have cachet. Like, even Jameis Winston.
Jimmy Garoppolo would have cachet. If they trade for Garoppolo, then it's not really a competition.
Yes, it's not really a competition. He's your starter. Jameis Winston, if you bring him in, I think he's your starter. He has cachet. Whatever you think of him, he threw for 5,000 yards a year ago. There's only like 8 guys in the history of the NFL have done what he's done. So he has cachet, right? But
30,
a Trubisky.
30 picks. Yeah,
he did. Yeah. But Trubisky, some of these guys haven't proven anything, have never proven anything. I don't know that Trubisky has a cachet in a Patriots locker room, right? He walks in, and I think people say, oh, yeah, you were the guy drafted high by the Bears. Didn't really work out there. Good luck against Stidham and good luck against Trask.
Speaking of Trask, Peter in the car, another guy, the Kyle Trask fan club calling in today on OMF. Go ahead, Peter.
I know. I 20 or 30 mock drafts I went through. I never saw Trask. I was going crazy. I finally call, and the guy ahead of me talks about Trask.
he stole your thunder.
So why, Peter, help me out.
What's the knock on him? He had 43 touchdown passes.
Here's the knock. Just like Mac Jones, he had two players on his offense going to be taken in the first round. The tight end Pitts, and is it Tui? Is that the wide receiver?
Tony.
Water bug wide receiver who looked awesome at the Senior Bowl, right?
Yes.
So he played with legit elite talent, and the question is Kyle Trask really good, Peter, or was the talent around him, two first-round picks he played with, are they what carried him to those huge numbers?
So he's going to be a second-round pick?
He will
or
not,
lower.
Yes,
second,
third, fourth. He'll be there at 46. If you like him, he'll be there at 46.
Low?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or lower.
Okay. One other question.
Yeah.
Now, for Brady, Kyle Van Noy, and Jamie Collins, right? Won't they get third-round compensatory picks?
They got a third for Brady and then two fours, or after the third for Brady and then after the fours for the other two.
Yeah, those have already been established. Those are already locked in.
Well, they're not official.
Okay,
but
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, so, they're pretty.
And now,
they're,
this and you year's projected. The first year you can trade those too, right?
You can trade those. So you can trade them. There's a report that Bill's going to trade all of them backwards for seventh round picks. He wants to trade back to the seventh round because that's what Bill likes to do. But yes, you get compensatory picks of guys left via free agency. You get picks in return, and it's a third and two fourths according to Pro Football Talk. At least they're projected to be that.
You know what I think about that? It's a fourth and two fifths technically because it's after the third round. That's called the fourth round, and after the fourth round, that's called the fifth round.
So you've never said something like, well, the Patriots are the first pick in the second round. It's essentially like a first-round pick.
Nope.
You never said that?
I don't do that.
I may search
the
internet.
Second-round pick.
Try to find that. Let's have a good laugh before we get to break, shall we? Chris in Manchester. Chris, who do you like as the Pats' next quarterback?
I'm thinking Julian Edelman.
Okay.
He's already on the team. He knows the offense. He was a college quarterback. Bill is cheap, so he'll just take him. We sit him as a backup, and then he can move, obviously. We'll see what happens with his knee, but he can move and get away from defenders. So, hey, in a season that we just had, he's still better than Cam.
I've always said Friday callers are the best because they dip into the stash a little bit early. It's kind of like the weekend.
I like it.
3:11, we had our first one.
Try the nachos!
As Tyler said off the air a second ago, he is more likely to throw a pass in Tampa next year than he is in New England.
Let me ask you a question.
To Brady out of the backfield.
Is he the best quarterback amongst the receivers?
No, Jacoby Myers is.
Thank you. He's not even the best quarterback option amongst your receiver depth chart.
617-779-7937, the phone number, starting with the quarterbacks that are available, not available, you want, you don't want. Jarrett Stidham has not been talked about at all until Andy Hart wrote about him today at WEEI.com. Meanwhile,
wow.
a lot of talk.
Look at the poll. What are the chances you have hundreds and hundreds of votes and it's literally 50-50?
I did not look yet. Thank you. We have a poll question we'll address coming up. And Fernando Tatis Jr. signed this mega deal. People are going nuts. I heard Dale today, bad for baseball. Keith, good for baseball. This guy bet on himself, and it's going to cost him legitimate money, is what happened. Yep. Fernando Tatis. You're going to want to hear this story. We'll do it next on OMF with Mutton Hart.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go.
On Twitter, at Christian Fourier.
What's up, mother?
Who's been right more than me? Don't answer that.
Back to OMF.
On WEEI.
This is in the air to right field. Back it goes. Nando has done it again. Fernando Tatis Jr., a grand slam. And the Padres go on top 14-3. Two home runs, seven RBIs for Fernando Tatis Jr. Unbelievable.
That's the man who cried when he left Boston, who famously looked down at the dugout and said, Orsillo, rounding third, heading for home. Don Orsillo, part of the Padres network now. OMF, WEEI, Mutton Hart hanging out. Fernando Tatis Jr., who you heard right there, just got a mega deal. And I thought, good deal for baseball, good deal for the Padres. They're going to feel like they're not paying them a whole heck of a lot in a couple years, Andy. Kind of a bad deal for football in that these guys in baseball keep getting these huge contracts and Mahomes and company are still underpaid, I would say, based like what their worth is, right, in the football sense?
Yeah, you mean a guy that hasn't yet played a full season of games, signs a 14-year, $340 million deal, and you got NFL players like Dak Prescott, whatever you think of him, he's played significant seasons, he's proven himself among the best in the game, and he can't get what he wants. Yeah, there's a little inequity in the two sports here.
I mean, Trevor Bauer is making more money the next couple of years than LeBron is. In LA, just to point that out.
In a sport that one of its all-time greats just said is effing boring.
That's always good. Ken Rosenthal wrote about it yesterday at The Athletic. So it's not taxes that are really going to affect Tatis as part of his new deal, but he's also to pay off this previous obligation, a deal he made during the 2017-2018 offseason. He was turning 19 years old, coming off a season in A-League, going up to AA. It was then that Tatis entered into a contract with a group called Big League Advance, a company that offers select minor leaguers upfront payments in exchange for a percentage of their future earnings in MLB. Neither Tatis nor BLA has revealed the exact percentage he owes the company. But back then, he got an advance. And basically, for the advance that he got, he had to pick a percentage of his future earnings he would pay BLA. So we don't know the details, Andy, of how much he signed up for. But for example, BLA may offer a player $50,000 for every 1% of his future earnings. So if a player wanted to sign a deal for 5%, he'd receive $250,000, or 10%, he'd get $500,000. So if Tatis chose 10%, he would have got $500,000 back then, but he would now owe BLA $34 million over the course of his contract. If it's 5%, it's $17 million. If it's 1%, it was $3.4 million. So it's this weird story where he sort of, I said he bet on himself, but that early money he got is about to cost him a crap ton of cash, depending on what level he invested in BLA.
And, you know, you read the story, he used some of it for his body and, you know, preparing for baseball and nutrition and getting better, hiring a trainer, I think also an apartment. But, you know, the first thing I thought of, where's his dad? Is his dad dead or anything? Like, I probably should have looked this up.
Well, his dad played Major League Baseball.
No, I know. That's my point. He played for like 10 years. He made like $20 million. He couldn't have given him a loan at slightly better interest?
That's a good question. Yep.
Still with us, guy, by the way. Still with us.
Not dead. Okay. Congrats.
So he's still alive.
You didn't call out someone dead today. That's
in
good.
Theory. Okay. In theory, could have some money. But I know he probably didn't think of this at the time. Wouldn't he have been better off just flat out charging things? He would have gotten a better interest rate just charging it. You know, his 16% credit card. You know, get something with a $50,000 limit, 16%, buy some nutrition, pay the trainer, write him a check, and you would have been better off. Normally, you'd say that's a bad idea. Credit cards are bad. But this... $34 million you're going to pay back? This is like the worst of... You ever hear those reverse mortgages that were big with the old people for a while?
I've heard of them. I can admit, I don't know what they are. I've seen the commercials where it's like Tom Selleck or Magnum PI saying, you can do a reverse mortgage.
It's a similar thing. Safe. You take the equity out of your home and you don't... Like, they give you the money, but then when you sell your home, they not only get that money back, they get a part of the profits as well.
That does not sound good. Okay.
So you're kind of giving away some money. I mean, it's a last-ditch effort. It's a different thing, but... This seems predatory, right? And I, you know, when you read the story, MLBPA does not support players using this organization.
Yeah, so January 2016, a memo to player agents said it did not approve of BLA. Memo said the union categorically did not endorse or approve of BLA and its products and warned the future earnings the company sought from players were significant.
Now, need to remember, when he took this out, I believe he was still in the White Sox system.
It was before he got traded for James Shields. He had just come out of his first year at Single A. And like so, Michael Schwimmer, who is part of the group, he thinks that he's providing a service to minor leaguers. He called it a big win for all parties involved. Like, I would disagree. It's a big win for you. It's not a big win for the player here because the small amount of money he got, he's very much paying back now. And you're right, there had to be other ways you could got that in advance. How about, by the way, your agent? Like, if your agent thinks you're any good, wouldn't they potentially loan you money and help you get set up?
Or your team. Like, you're already in the minor leagues, right? You can't, you know, even minor league teams can't, you know, help you out a little bit with a team nutritionist or a strength and conditioning coach or a trainer. This whole thing seems weird to me. You're right, because NFL prospects, a lot of them, as soon as they leave college, you know, after the college football season, they start living off their agents, right? And then it ends up getting paid back to the agent, like they recoup whatever they invested in the guy
the combine. A lot of banks will lend these guys money based on their future earnings, too.
Right, but not to give away a full percentage point of all your future earnings, right? Not just, it'd be one thing if this was off your first contract, your first year's major league salary, whatever. All your future earnings. The guy signed a 14-year deal, and they get a bite out of every one of those years. I mean, this is, I don't know what the definition of predatory or like sort of going into loan shark area or those types of things, but this certainly feels like it at least straddles the line, if not crosses way over.
So I don't know how much money we don't. I'm sure we'll find out in the next couple of days, you know, how much money he did. He borrowed here, whether it's the 1%, the 5%, the 10%. You mentioned this. He wanted to hire a personal trainer.
Yep.
Eat better food. Get a better apartment. Upgrade his own training regiment in the U.S., but also his off-season practice field in his native Dominican Republic. So as you're saying it, as I'm reading those out loud, it's like, well, wasn't there a better way to do it than gamble your future earnings in case you did hit this mega contract at 20-something years old before you even played a full season, like you said, then give
away
the future?
This is where I get back to his father played Major League Baseball for over a decade. Like, even if he can't financially help him, shouldn't he have been able to say, listen, you're pretty good. I think you're going to make a lot of money. This is a terrible decision you're making. This is a terrible investment. We can find another way, advise him to find. There's got to be more to this story. There's something weird here.
Well, the relationship something with his dad has to be out of whack because he made $18 million during his career. Unless he completely plundered it, like let's say half went for taxes or whatever, there's still enough there where if it's half a mil. Like,
or even or he doesn't have the money, advise him. I screwed up. I got no money left. Listen, don't go down the road I did because you're going down the road with this deal. And what about coaches, staff, members of the organization that he's with? This just, something stinks here. Something smells really bad. And I do understand the business side of it from the BLA Corporation because they're investing in multiple guys and they don't get paid if the guy doesn't make it to the major leagues. If he peters out, they're out there 25K, 50K, 100K. So they are definitely putting something on the line here and investing. I just think there's a little bit of a sort of price gouging here for a guy to get 50 grand and you get 1% of the rest of his life.
Well, I'd argue baseball needs to do a better job than just advise against this. Like I would try to make sure my players just like let's help out minor league players. This speaks to a bigger picture that, you know, baseball players have talked about. The minor leaguers are vastly underpaid. Yep. You know, they can't get help financially. You know, last year they were screwed really the entire year because they didn't have a season. And so they're struggling anyway. Like there should be some better protections against them. But you're right. There also should have been a better advice from his dad, who played Major League Baseball, made millions, and had to have known how this might come back to bite his son in the ass.
Or even so maybe Major League Baseball Players Association, start your own fund or program with similar but more realistic, you know, paybacks, right? Create a fund for minor leaguers that need loans, that need whatever. Because there are protections in a lot of sports. Because for a while, a lot of sports marketing deals were getting out of control, right? Because a lot of the sports, they limit the agent's fee to 3%, but on marketing, it could go through the roof. They could take whatever chunk of marketing they wanted. Wasn't this part of the Zion Williamson lawsuit? He just had that lawsuit where I think they ended up voiding the deal he signed with an agent, and he wanted to go to a different agent because the deal was just beyond what it should be. This smells funny, and I feel like there's going to be more to this story. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lawsuit here to get out of this deal. Now, maybe he signed a contract that is actually, you know, pretty tight and he can't get out of it. But this whole story, it just doesn't add up.
Let me sneak Jim in Taunton, and he may have some additional info on this. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you today?
What's up, Jim?
Not much. I just got back from the Dominican Republic, and I was actually with a guy that runs one of the baseball academies down there. He was specifically talking about Tatis and it's 1% of everything, endorsement, likenesses. So, yeah. And I believe he also signed with one of those shady organizations down there. So I believe he's got a huge kicker. I heard it was 10% going back to someone that discovered him in the DR, too. Because he signed with a very low. He only signed for, like, what, 10 grand for the White Sox. He's got a huge kicker down there, too.
It's going to be $500,000, which means if it's 10%, thanks, Jim, for the call, that's $34 million he owes this company. That's on this contract, but on his, you know, future earnings as well. He says it's on endorsements. I'm reading from MarketWatch.com. It says the contract applies to MLB earnings, not endorsements. So maybe there's a second deal he signed somewhere else that includes endorsements, which is important to note because Gatorade last year, yep, signed this guy to a mega deal, and he's on the cover of this year's MLB The Show, right? The baseball. There are two companies right there, and there's probably more than I'm thinking about. But Gatorade and EA Sports invested huge money in this guy, And is he paying a percentage on that to some other company? Then that's more than $34 million here, Andy.
Yeah, this that's sounds wild. Like a guy that was preyed upon because of where he came from.
It's a good point.
Situations, circumstances. I mean, remember, this was like a big story for a while in the music industry. You get these young boy bands and all these, and like the producers are just
on that, yes,
bilking the money out of them. Like, this is a weird situation.
All right, 617-779-7937, the phone number. There's a poll question up right now. OMF on WEEI. Andy Hart wrote today that Jared Stidham should be involved in the quarterback competition for the Patriots next year. Bunch of votes. Want you to go vote right now. You got a couple minutes. We're going to come back and talk about the results so far. And I want to address something Fitzy said today on Dale and Keefe, which I honestly can't possibly disagree with more. We'll get to that with Andy Hart next, OMF WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
OMF, no O, no M, no F. Mutt and Hart hanging out until 6. WEEI, your phone call, 617-779-7937. We'll get to something Fitzy said today with Dale and Keith that I think is just... It's just a bad take, and hopefully what the Patriots weren't listening to. But first, poll question up on OMF on WEEI. That's on Twitter. OMF on WEEI. Should Jared Stidham be in the running for the Patriots 2021 quarterback competition? Almost 800 votes. It is exactly 50-50.
We had over 5,000 votes, and it was like 77 to 33.
No, we'll handle the math. That's our boss who can't count. Our acting boss, which is scary as hell. 50-50, almost 800 votes there, Hart. We got Patriot Nation divided right now.
And I told you, I was just looking for a 51-49 victory. That's all I'm looking for. Right now, I don't have it. Right now, we're split.
You're not there right now. But you can go vote, and you can react to it as well at 617-779-7937. Read through some of the comments that we can read that don't have so many swear words. Some people very aggressive on the social
media.
People
are just mean. It's a cesspool.
It's the people with no actual real name next to their account. And they have like a Patriots logo or some terrible dumb logo. They're the ones like to swear and be very angry on social media.
And I usually respond to them.
You do. And then you block them.
Well, I don't block anybody.
I block them.
I have nobody blocked.
Dale and Keefe today did not feature Andy Hart. It featured Nick Fitzy Stevens. And right before noontime today, I'm getting ready for the show. We had our conference call for the show. And I'm just listening away. And I hear Fitzy make what I think is honestly the worst approach to what the Patriots should do, at least in my opinion. Here was Nick Fitzy Stevens a couple hours ago.
This is the plan. This is exactly how I believe Belichick is going to go about it. He's going to hope that they can get to 24 points, and he is going to invest heavily across all fronts in the draft and through free agency on defense, because that's his calling card. That's his legacy. That's his trademark. Then that's the way he's going to go. He's not just going to say, like, well, I don't have a quarterback. But, you know, the smartest thing to do would be to get a premium wide receiver and a premier tight end, have no quarterback, and then hope we can, you know, score 30 points once every 4 weeks, even though, again,
but would you say, like, this strategy?
We have a quarterback.
So the idea there is that it's 2021. I mentioned this a couple times on Mud at Night, that we're coming off the season where the league had the highest scoring in the history of the NFL. No OTAs, no practice, and teams averaged almost 25 points per game. Never been done before. It's up 7 points in the last 10 years in the NFL. They've never been easier to score in the league, which makes your season you had here in New England that much worse. So Fitzy, in the face of that, in the teeth of that knowledge, that it's all about scoring an offense now, he wants them to be the New York Giants of 1990. He wants to be the Ravens of 2000. He wants to rebuild Andy defensively. And to me, that's he might do it, but I'm not rooting for Bill Belichick to do that. I'm rooting for Bill Belichick to address that offense is more important than he thinks it is, or it was in Cleveland, or it was with the Jets or Giants, whatever, and put some actual resources, draft and free agent cash, into offense instead of thinking it's 1994 and defense wins.
See, defense does not win by itself. So if Fitzy's literally talking about focus on defense, resources on defense, draft, money, defense.
We just played it. Free agency and draft, invest fully on defense, Andy.
That's a terrible, terrible, terrible plan. You're not going to win that way. Now, you can still win with the defense playing a key role, right? I think the Tampa Bay Bucs defense has gotten the short end of the stick in the whole glorification of Tom Brady number seven. I think that defense was huge for them, not only in the Super Bowl, but over the course of the postseason. And, you know, making up when Brady throws three picks in the second half. Yeah, getting the ball back to him, not allowing it to be a big issue.
Sure.
But you still win in the NFL with offense. You still, like, we talked about it so much during the postseason. Hall of Fame quarterbacks, rising star, first-round pick quarterbacks with good offenses, playmakers. We talk so much time about, like, the Bills and the Browns and the Chiefs. Even the teams that used to stink, Bills and Browns. How have they turned it around? With offenses. Now, I know they have defenses. I'm not saying, I don't think you can win with just offense either. And the Patriots have holes galore. The one place I kind of agree with Fitzy, I don't know if I'm agreeing with him at all, actually. This is just my idea.
Take a breath. Think about the. He just said invest all in defense draft.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
The thing I have been sort of saying is the fixation on the quarterback position may be misplaced. If you may not get a quarterback. I'm with you, Mutt. You need a quarterback, but you may not get a quarterback. And you can't force it. You can't take Mac Jones just because he's available and say, you know what, I need a quarterback. Mac Jones is the next one on the list. I crossed the first four off, take Mac Jones. I think you regret that. That does more harm than good. That is a negative effect on the next 5 years. So the thing I've gone more to is not Fitzy's all defense. I do like the storyline, though. Like, Belichick, if you're gonna prove a point, get back to your roots. Like, I tell you how I'm going to rebuild the Patriots. Oh, I needed Brady. Brady, my ass. I'm building the defense. I'm going back. And 40 years ago, it might have worked.
NFL Films presents Belichick, Back to the Future.
40 years ago, it might have worked. And is Bill also going to draft a fullback in the top 10 like he did with Tommy Vardell in Cleveland? Bill, we'll both be out of work. Fullbacks are dead. You know, it's just not that the big pads on everything.
Patriots signed Kyle Juszczyk to mega deal.
Right. Let's get more fullbacks on the roster if you want to go that way. If we're going to be just doing stuff that we
who's
like.
Who's your fullback? Vitali? Is that your guy you're excited for this year? Dan Vitali, the kid from the Packers?
I'm intrigued by him. I'm intrigued. We'll see. Fullback. He's no James Devlin. He's a little fraudulent, too. He wants to be more than just a fullback.
H-back type guy,
He wants super back at Northwestern. I like my fullbacks with their mouths shut, their head down, blowing over some people. You're not looking for the damn ball. Fullbacks don't get the
Sam
ball.
Sam Gash is block guys.
That's right.
It's a man's man.
Yeah. Defensively, like, I don't really. They need help on defense. Like, if. The thing I'm struggling with Fitzy's whole idea here is if they take Micah Parsons at 15, that doesn't mean Fitzy's right. He might just be the best player on the board and they need front seven help.
Yep.
That doesn't mean Bill's all in on defense, defense, defense. Now, if they take defense first round, second round, third round, their biggest signing is a defensive player for $15 million, okay, now Fitzy's right. If they don't spread the wealth of their assets around, I will be very critical of them because I think they'll be in trouble.
See, to me, I just like the idea of that's the way to build a team in 2021. Like, I can't think of a team. Like, you mentioned the Bucs there. Okay, the Bucs had Tom Brady, and they had a great defense. Elite offensive talent. Evans, Godwin, that combination with the addition of Antonio Brown and a pretty good offensive line. That was, from a talent standpoint, an elite offense. You mentioned the Buffalo Bills. They didn't turn the corner until they address quarterback by moving up and getting Josh Allen. And then in addition to that, putting Cole Beasley around him and then also Steph Diggs. Like, didn't take off for him until he developed with that talent around him. So the idea that Bill, who's a very good defensive mind, like, I'm worried he's going to do it this way, but I've seen no evidence you can do it this way right now in the NFL. So when Fitzy said it, not only do I think he's wrong, I do admit that I'm worried that Bill thinks this way. Like, I'm gonna show people most points ever per team per game in the NFL. I'm going to load up on defense. I'm going to get Shaq Barrett. I'm going to draft Micah Parsons. I'm going to put whoever I want at quarterback, and I'm going to show them it's the system, not the quarterback. Like, I had that fear that Bill has that pride to do that this year. It's the wrong way to go about it.
I've said this to you a number of times on our great two-hour hits on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Yep.
I find it interesting that Bill Belichick's best buddy in coaching, the other GOAT coach, the guy who's built a dynasty but in college football, articulated that, yeah, we're done winning championships. The days of winning championships with a defense are over.
Yep.
It's about offense now. And what has that guy done the last couple of years? Oh, he sent a first-round quarterback, two first-round receivers. He's going to send another pair of first-round wide receivers, maybe another first-round quarterback to the National Football League. He has changed everything about Alabama. They still have good defensive players, don't get me wrong, but they are offensive-driven, offensive-motivated, to the point where he just keeps going through, you know, NFL or high-level offensive coordinators and schemes and systems. Nick Saban, who used to be old school, right? Used to be 3-4 and big fronts and big guys and Dante Hightower, is he an end or is he a linebacker for me? He used to play it that way, has decided, see that little guy, Devontae Smith, that little skinny guy over there? He's going to be the best player in college football. That's how he's decided he's going to win. And I just wonder, at whatever point he and Bill cross paths this offseason, if they cross paths, maybe they cross Zooms, cross streams, or whatever you do online, maybe they have a little chat, and Nick says, Bill, I used to think like you too, Bill. I used to think defense wins championships. Hey, Bill, offense wins championships. That's the way football is now. And we haven't even gotten into the last part of this, the rules. And just the way the game is officiated.
Well, I think that's
played,
a big reason why we
right?
have almost 24.8 points per game per team this year, is the way the rules are set up. To your point, it is now all for offense, Andy.
Yeah, you can't hit people. You can't touch people. You can't cover people. You can't touch quarterbacks. Like, there's just, they don't even call holding anymore, right? Holding has been down on the offensive
line.
It
was way down. This year specifically, holding was way down.
So you're not allowed to do anything physical, and they've allowed the offensive line to do more physical things to you. Why would you invest in the hardest position, the defensive position?
So to that end, and we'll get your thoughts on this about the Patriots and their team building, is that the way to do it, defense first? 617-779-7937. Like, if everyone's on the level playing field, where even if you have a great defense, guess what? The deck is stacked against you. Isn't that potentially a reason why you don't invest heavily in defense? Like, okay, the rules are set up where even great defenses only can do a certain amount of things. So what I'm going to do is make sure on offense, when the league wants points, they want fantasy points, they want, life's too short to bet the under, people are betting the over, they want to have action, 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 bing, bang, boom, arena football. If the league wants it that way, you've quoted Bill Belichick a million times, do business as business is done. It's not done defensively, it's done on offense. And if that's a level playing field on defense, they don't invest as much in it. In addition to that, if Bill is that good as a defensive coach, then he should be able to coach up, in my opinion, lesser players. He should not need, technically, Andy, the more elite defensive players. He should need those players on offense, because that's where the roster needs a lot more help, at wide receiver and tight end specifically. That's where they're lacking talent. They have some talent on the defensive different levels, especially in the secondary. They don't have to go back and invest in those. They have players there. They don't play those on offense.
But this is where I make sort of the swerve a little bit here. All things being equal, like if you say to me they're at 15 and let's have your dream. I know your dream scenario. Kyle Pitts is on the board.
You know me.
And Micah Parsons. It's an easy selection for me. I take Pitts.
I think offense wins. Yep.
But if it's Micah Parsons and now the fourth best receiver, the fifth best, you know what I mean? If Parsons is just far and away the best athlete on the board, because this is another thing I've said to you, I almost don't care about the position or the side of the ball. I want the best athlete.
Yeah,
because I think teams are winning with athletes now.
You mentioned on our show like the lack of speed, and you and Kern are one of the, two of the guys who have talked about it, and Phil Perry too.
We're football guys.
They're a slow team, man. N'Keal Harry, slow. Like Dalton Keane, some of the guys, like, they're not. There's not a lot of speed. Julian Edelman,
Jawan Bentley.
Slow. I mean, they're just not. Where's the real speed athleticism in a fast, like, skilled league? And so you say, like, the fourth best receiver. If let's say Pitts is taken early, but some of the mock drafts I've seen, and you've probably seen them too, like one of two of the Alabama guys, either Waddle or Smith, is there at 15. They're technically, I guess, the second or third best receiver, but the three receivers are all really good, right? Chase will not be there. So let's say one of the Alabama guys is there. I'm taking that guy over Parsons every freaking
If
time.
Waddle is there, I'm taking him no matter what. Smith
Why not Smith?
Me.
What's
He scares me a little bit.
You know, he scares me, too. Guys who, like, wake up and receive 200 yards a game in college football, they're very scary. So
He's not
scary.
As fast as you think he is. He scares me a little bit. I think a lot of his play came on scheme. I thought Steve Sarkisian did a really good job with him.
Like when he blew by guys? Like he's a freak athlete.
I'm just telling you. You know, so is Henry Ruggs. So is everybody. And
Ruggs
sometimes
not,
you look back at it.
Ruggs,
so Henry Ruggs is every bit the freak athlete. Go look at his high school basketball highlights.
I'm not saying
I will
isn't.
Not allow you to besmirch the name of Henry Ruggs athletically.
Yo, calm, pipe down.
Vest boy.
I'm not
oh, my arms.
I'm not
they
saying
are so
that.
Warm.
They do look good today. They're not saying
Stop
that.
Stop flexing.
What I'm
did you borrow Glenn's tank top? Is mock there? What are you wearing?
I know. I didn't put on 40 pounds during COVID like you did, so I don't wear bulky sweatshirts every day and hide in the camera.
That's hurtful.
But to your point, I love Ruggs, but we only saw him for a year. Were you mocking that he's any good? I take Ruggs in this team right now.
You think Ruggs is a franchise receiver? Because I don't.
I think he had Drew Lock throwing to him this year, and I'm willing to give him a second year. Okay, I don't think we knew anything about Ruggs yet. I don't think we know anything. I take him on
we'll
this
see.
Team over everyone they have. Meanwhile, let's go to the mock draft desk.
Thank
Tyler
you.
Devitt joining us. Tyler, go ahead.
The website called NFL Mock Draft Database, they take all the mock drafts and compile them into one to find a consensus.
And he looks at it every night before
Love
bed.
It.
At
Love
number
it.
Seven,
right before sleepy time.
Number seven to Detroit is Michael Parsons, so likely he would be gone. Jamar Chase goes 3. Devontae Smith goes 6 to the Eagles. At number 15 to the Patriots is the Florida tight end, Kyle Pitts.
Oh,
no chance. Pitts does not get past like 6 or 7. I mean, I can't say that. The quarterbacks are the key here. Like, I don't believe the Eagles. The reports out of Philly that the Eagles are still interested in a quarterback, even though they have Jalen Hurts. I don't believe that. I think they're playing the games, the old smoke and
They're taking a quarterback at 6.
I don't believe that necessarily. I think they want somebody to believe they're taking it, and then they take a guy like Pitts at 6. You put Pitts with Hurts. Because unless you change the
Dallas
team
Goddard?
Around. If you don't change. Pitts is a. Like ridiculous weapon. Pitts is going to be
I'm aware.
Okay, well then don't talk bad about him. Be mean.
I'm not talking bad about him. I'm saying the Eagles already have a legit starting tight end in Dallas Goedert. They're going to let Wentz, but they're going to let Ertz walk.
So a legit tight end or a sort of centerpiece offensive weapon, which would you rather have? Cuz that's what he is. He's like the Kelce. You would take him thinking he's going to be a 1200-yard, 90 catch, 10 touchdown tight end, right? Or even look, let's
Sign
not say
up,
you end up in an offense as good, right? Darren Waller. He's Darren Waller, right? He's at the
great
best.
I like the comparison there. I'd even
take,
you want to compare him to, he compared himself to Evan Engram, like athletic tight end. Now, Ingram's not
better than Engram.
But just that idea of that player at that position, I love the athletic tight end. Like, it's changed the league. I'll go back to the mock draft desk. What did you say that Curran said about Pitts?
So Curran's been, quote, spending a snowy day looking at the tight end prospects. This is a real quote from Tom Curran. Kyle Pitts is going to the Hall of Fame.
What are we doing?
He loves, great, loves, loves,
little
loves,
premature.
Loves
great minds think alike.
We had, who did we have on Mutt on one of our Wednesday night draft expert interviews that said he's the best pass catcher in the draft?
I think it was Rang.
He's better than Chase.
Who's your
he's
guy?
Better than
Who's
Smith.
Ra- is it Ra-
yeah, Rob Rang.
Rob
Ranger.
Rang, yeah. The
I
Ranger.
Call him the Ranger. The Ranger.
From one of the
drafts. Yeah,
draft
so he called
yeah.
him the... From one
I
of
forget.
The drafts.
So we've had a guy on every Wednesday. Where nobody's done more mock draft talk than Mutt at Night
That's
in
true.
The month of January and February.
In January. That was my idea. Anyway, so he had him as the best pass catcher. Well, I have to produce the show. I have to be on the show. I have to do the whole thing, carry the show. But he is the best pass catcher in the draft, potentially. Better than Jamar Chase, whatever you want. Like that, because he's also more unique, right? We've seen that the tight end is harder to find. You're a fantasy football guy, right? Tight end's hard to find.
It was a disaster this year. Disaster.
Exactly.
Guy like Mark
Lately?
Mark Andrews, people loved him. He was terrible.
Just touchdowns.
That's it.
All you're getting is touchdowns from
that
him.
Was it. That
so,
was it.
My point was, though, the tight end position's hard to find the elite playmaker pass catcher. Wide receiver, you're looking at a whole generation of young class. Oh, those guys are good. Oh, young class, those guys are good. Everybody expects these young guys are going to come in ready to, you know, catch a bunch of passes, put up points, score touchdowns. So I think Pitts is a rarity. Not only is he good, but there's not a lot of him. He's a very finite number of those types of guys, a rarity.
So real quick at 15, and we'll come back and get some thoughts on this with you guys. Micah Parsons or Smith? Devonta Smith.
Parsons. You know why? I watched Devin White in the Super Bowl. Devin White really wowed me in the Super Bowl. And actually the whole postseason.
No, he's not,
and I think he's a guy you put in. What do you mean?
He's not
you don't
Devin
think
White.
He could be? You don't think you could be as good as him?
I'm just saying he's not. I mean, I think you're projecting a little bit. That's fine. You want to project the thought because you would.
Wait, Curran can put Pitts in the Hall of Fame, but I can't compare a guy to another young linebacker?
Curran's a better analyst.
And Curran's comp, by the way, was Harold Carmichael from the Eagles.
Okay.
Stanley Steema.
Waddle or Parsons?
Waddle. I would definitely take Waddle. Pitts. I loved Waddle.
Pitts or Waddle?
Pitts.
Okay, so basically, if the elite pass catcher is still there and you don't consider Smith there, you would still take him over a defensive player. That's the point. Like Fitzy's saying, yes. You invest in the draft.
Offense is okay. The key.
I could not agree more. This hour of OMF sponsored by McFarlane Energy and their new customer home oil incentive. Check it out at McFarlaneEnergy.com. Your call's coming up at 617-779-7937. And another reason why it might be very tough for the Patriots to get, well, the premium free agents, that we'll address it next here on OMF WEEI.